Hello out there, this is Ryan, and you are listening to the Six Demon Bag Podcast, where we pick six topics out of a bag and talk about them. We might not always reach six topics, and there might be some digressions, but we'll always have a ripping time.
Now do one that you can live with. Hey, my name's Jeff. I write science fiction and horror, and this is my fortune from a fortune cookie. The rainbow's treasures will soon belong to you.
Oof, that's getting cut. This is Ryan. Here's my fortune. Your leadership talents bring you an incredible opportunity.
Well, it's about time, I'd say. This is Ed and Bookwright Ordinaire, and I'm going to open up my fortune cookie here, which says, long life is in store for you, God help me.
This is Drew, and I'm about to eat my fortune cookie, and it says, 14, 25, 32, 41, 45, and 1. Oh, yeah, and a message from a distance is coming.
Aliens.
In bed.
Hobo stories!
Okay, I have a fresh hobo story. My wife...
so to speak. It's more like a rotten hobo
story.
It's
not so fresh. Hobo story. You ever get that? Not so fresh hobo story. So my wife and I were dog sitting, and so I was walking one dog, and she was walking the neighbor's two dogs, and they're all going off in different directions. They don't know how to walk together, so we are not as nimble as we could be. But we live in Venice, California, which is ground zero for hobos in our area. And I saw this creepy scarecrow looking guy kind of slithering up behind us, and I was like, okay, just be cool, hopefully he'll walk past us. But he was gaining on us, and I couldn't like pull the dog to the side or speed up. Like, the dogs just dropped like anchors, and so we were kind of a captive audience for this guy. And so he goes around me and goes up to my wife, and he's wild-eyed and like got crazy bushy hair, and he leans in and he goes, can I tell you something? And my wife says,
can you read Sutter
Kane? And my wife says, sure. And he goes, glither sclither blather glump, it means no pain, it is the absence of decay. It is the opposite of cancer. It is not depression. It's not like anything you've ever seen. Glither, sclither, blather, sclath. It means you can have life forever. And I was like, okay, thank you. Thank you. And I kind of got in his peripheral vision and I broke his hypnotic trance. And I was like, thank you. Thank you. We got it. Thanks. And he freezes. He turns to me, incredulous, and slowly lifts the middle finger and then slithers off down the street. And I was like, on the one hand, I'm glad I got my wife out of that creepy captive audience encounter. But on the other hand, I feel like he was imparting some kind of eldritch knowledge.
I hope you denied yourself.
I hope you got that phrase. I hope you really were repeating that phrase.
I repeated it. So don't listen to this with headphones, and do not listen to it before you go to sleep at night.
Unless you want the opposite of cancer.
Unless you want the opposite of cancer, the opposite of pain.
Which is...
Don't try to untangle this Gordian knot of hobo knowledge.
It's just not cancer.
It's anti-cancer, of course.
It's just some kind of other tumor that gives you superpowers. Drew, you must have a crazy hobo story. You've been living in L.A. all your goddamn life.
No, I mean...
Jesus. Downtown, no less.
How disappointing.
I mean, look, I know... Well, I don't really know, but I encounter hobos regularly and, you know, say hi and... and whatnot, but they don't really give me anything interesting to remember them by, you know?
Even the homosexuals?
I mean, I guess I'm just not their type.
Ed, we should use our terminology correctly. Now, these are not hobos. Because a hobo,
they're not lovable.
No, a hobo was a guy that like rides the rails, right? That's a hobo.
Yeah, Metro really doesn't like it when you try to get on without paying your fare.
Oh, yeah, no, but I'm talking about like freight trains. The guys that like ride freight trains across the country, that's a hobo.
So you're saying these are vagabonds?
These vagrants? Are transients, maybe?
I still prefer the term hobo. It's so much friendlier.
I prefer hobo as well.
It's not correct, though. It's like saying midget, I think. I don't think you
well,
say that.
These people have no rights. They are less than human. I'm kidding. We need to help them.
Well, the only thing I can say is that after they started turning downtown Los Angeles into hipster central, a bunch of tent cities have popped up in Koreatown. So.
And everywhere else.
They get shuffled all over the place.
Yeah.
My best hobo story is, Jeff, you weren't there. Drew, we didn't even know you yet. Or we didn't, me and Ed. Jeff maybe did, but we were shooting a short film.
Oh, that guy.
Oh, my God. And we were shooting out in the driveway, and like our main actor had a real aversion to hobos, I guess, but...
Are you saying your actor...
He was homophobic.
Had homophobia?
highly homophobic. And this, so we're shooting like the climax, like.
Well, it was that hot chick, right?
It was
a hot chick. I remember her.
There was a hot chick in the movie who went on.
Is that the actress you're talking about? Or?
No,
that was
the actor.
Oh, the actor. Who was?
I guess
the
they're all actors these days. Yeah. But
who was the guy though?
He was just an actor.
Okay.
How hot was he?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give him a 6.5 maybe. so we're shooting the like final scene where emotions are running high. It was a stupid comedy, but still, it was it was the denouement. And
the what? Wait, explain that.
Siri.
Denouement.
And like, here we go. And I live on a street that is particularly strange and hobo
friendly,
hoborific,
hobo friendly.
And there have been endless schizophrenics and otherwise. And turbo hobos on my street. So this guy, he just waltzed over. And first, well, I had the Grim Reaper in the movie. So he saw the Grim Reaper from afar, and he made a beeline for our shoot.
As anyone who wants to die will.
Sure, I guess, yeah. Well, no, because the first thing he said was, from across the street, I don't find that funny. Or, I don't find that humorous, something like that. There's nothing funny about the Grim Reaper. And we were like, oh, fuck, well, cut. So we're just like waiting for the storm to pass, but the storm did not pass. He came straight over to us. He went right up to the main actor. He started poking him in the shoulder, and
he could smell his fear.
He was like, "Hey, oh Jesus, what did he say?
You stink of fear."
He was like, "Do you think that's funny, Freckles? Huh? Do you, Freckles?" And the main actor was just shrinking into himself, And then our other friend was like. Hey,
Elliot, yeah.
Our other friend Elliot took charge of the situation. I didn't know what to do. And Elliot goes, "Hey man, why don't we go down to the liquor store and I'll buy you a beer?" And the guy was like, "Sounds like a plan." And they went off to the liquor store, which is the saddest thing you can do for a drunken hobo. But we got to shoot.
But the best thing you can do is like a line producer.
Yeah.
Elliot really intercepted that.
And the guy was like talking about how he served in Nam and everything. Like, yeah. We got a whole backstory for this guy in about 5 minutes. Along with some physical and mental abuse, and learning that maybe the Grim Reaper is not so funny.
When you're living on the
but that
streets.
It was a hell of a hobo story.
Hell of a hobo story.
Mm. Do you have a high hobo story, or were you going to next time?
I don't. My father-in-law was a hobo.
Next topic from the sixth human bag. Do we want to do favorite fuck-ups again? Do you guys have new fuck-ups? Or do you want something else?
Let's do favorite fuck-ups.
All right.
Oh, boy.
Favorite fuck-ups, and everyone has to play.
I used to work as a part-time manager at a movie theater in Chicago, the Music Box on Southport. And we showed art house films, and sometimes we'd show, like, cool stuff, like, you know, Big Trouble, Little China, something, like, older stuff, you know, and everything. And we had a serial masturbator that would come in all the time to the theater.
And this is going to be a weird fuck up.
And so, like, all of us on the all the concessionaires, all the employees were always trying to catch this guy. Like, he was like the great, you know, he was the 12 point buck. You know, he was the guy you were trying to catch all the time.
Well, let me ask you how you knew you had a serial masturbator.
Because somebody would always come out complaining. This guy's like whacking off in the front, you know. We'd have like we knew what movies were going to attract him. Anytime we had like a French film that had explicit sex or something, or even if there was a trailer, there was a movie that Rocco Siffredi, the porn star, was in, and we just knew this guy was going to show up. So we were like, you know, laying in wait for this guy to show up and everything. And I remember one time the closest I got was some lady came out and was like, this guy is like jerking off in front of us and everything. So I like got into the theater, and it was a huge, like, 300 seat, you know, Abbott theaters, whatever theater, and the door, like, it was like a noir movie or something, you know. It was like The Third Man or something. The door like slammed shut, and I saw a silhouette darting out,
like,
and I was
exit
like,
door?
Yeah, and I ran all the way to the front of the screen and like got out, and I saw him like got on the back alley, and it was daylight, and I saw his coattails, you know, going around the corner. Ran all the way down the alley, and he couldn't catch him, you know.
Unfortunately, you slipped on something. And
yeah, something happened. Right. Yeah, a little kid on a bicycle came by. Woo! You know, something. Fruit cart. I ran through a mirror, you know, whatever.
You did not get my jizz reference.
No, I didn't. Sorry. Oh, slipped in something. Yeah, I gotcha. Anyway, I could never catch this guy. We're always trying to catch him.
It was probably for the best.
Probably, yeah, because what were we going to do with him? Well, this is what we thought we would do, because we had
to the radiator.
We had an opportunity where we thought we caught him. Because, so we're watching, we had a, next to the 300 seat theater, there was a smaller theater, and the guy never showed up in there, which was, because there's no exit, you know, there's only one exit. So I should have known, you know, but anyway, these two, like, Korean ladies, girls came out and were like, this guy is, like, you know, masturbating or something. Actually, there must have been another exit now that I think about it, because it's a fire code thing. But anyway, so me and this other guy were like, we got this guy. Let's go. So we left the counter, and we marched in there, and we were like, show us who he is, you know, and everything. And she pointed this guy out. So we go up to this guy, and he's a more heavyset guy with glasses and everything, and he's on the aisle. And we lean down, and the guy I'm with is like, could you come with us, sir, and everything? And the guy was like, why? And he was like, we know what you did, sir, and everything. And this guy's like, what are you talking about? I'm not getting up. I paid for this and everything. And so I slapped the guy on the shoulder, like, really hard with the back of my hand. And I was like, that's okay. We'll wait for you outside. Whatever you like. So we go outside, and we're sitting at the counter and everything. And we're like, I don't know. What should we do? Should we call the police and all this stuff and everything? And then the one of the girls is like, actually, that's not the guy. So then me and this guy at the concession stand are like, the other guy's like, I'm gonna go clean the bathrooms. So then we're sitting there like sweating, you know, like while this movie is like going on and everything, because the guy's not leaving, you know. And we duck back in and look at him, he's sitting there, and I'm like, oh my god, this guy's gonna be fuming and shit, right? So the movie lets out, and he comes waddling out, this big guy, and he comes over to the counter, and he's like, so you wanted to talk to me and everything, right? And I was like, yeah, here's the thing. I'm going to be completely frank with you. We have this guy who's a serial masturbator that comes into the theater. Somebody pointed it out as you, but they were mistaken. And the guy, bless the guy, he starts laughing. He throws his head back and is like, ha, 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 ha.
And then he started masturbating.
Masturbated all over the Toblerones. No. But so then I gave him a couple of free passes, okay, and it was good. That was the end of it. Yeah, the guy left.
Free passes at what?
I let him have a couple free ones for me.
A couple of passes.
I made a couple of free passes at him. Yeah, but that was pretty fucked up. I felt really horrible. I was like sweating through my apron, like waiting for that movie to let out.
The problem with that guy was all he had to do was wait for somebody to leave the theater. And he knew that they were going to be complaining
about
him.
Exactly, that's what he always did. That's what he always did. That's why we were like, why isn't he leaving?
Post
oh my
people
God.
At the doors all the time. Anyways.
Yeah.
Good fuck up, hey. Good fuck up. All right.
Okay, so back in high school, there was this girl I had a crush on.
Oh, boy.
And back then, I was very shy, quiet, introverted.
Back then.
And, you know, prom was coming up. I didn't have a date yet, and so I was talking to her friends. I'm like, so does so-and-so have a date for prom? And they're like, yeah, she's going with so-and-so. And
heartbreak.
Yeah, so I'm basically walking in the hallways between classes and I bump into her. She says hi and I'm trying to make small talk with her. And I'm like, so do you have a date for the prom right now? And I thought I already knew the answer. And she paused for a second and took a step closer and said, actually, no. I'm like, oh, okay, well, later. And so prom comes around, I have a date, and
wait, you can't just skip the part where you get a date.
I thought you were an introvert. You got another date?
Yeah, this is not a fuck up.
Yeah, this is, well,
this is something else.
I have the same story, but it goes, I went home and cried all night long.
I went with a married girl to prom.
Oh, Jesus. Anyway,
I went to Ed's Theater and masturbated.
So, I was friends with the guy that she went to the prom with, or at least I used to be, until this moment where we show up to prom, she's there with him, and I'm trying to talk to him, and he's like giving me the cold shoulder, and he's giving me the cold shoulder, and I'm like, so you were able to bring so-and-so to the prom, that's pretty cool, and he's like, yeah, I'm like, why aren't you happier? He's like, I wasn't really her first choice. And I'm like,
no,
I wasn't really getting it. And so then later we went to the same community college and, you know, we would be in the study center and she would sit next to me and we would study and he would come by and try to intervene. Last time I heard from them, the two of them had gotten married and had two kids.
To each other?
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay.
So that was one of those things where it's like, in retrospect, I feel like dedicating my life to building a time machine and just slapping the shit out of my younger self.
You could have erased those kids from existence.
Yeah, there are two people alive because of your fuck up.
Yes.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Awful, yeah. Awful. Ugh.
And they probably yeah. Their parents are probably miserable too.
No!
My fuck ups changed the world, you know?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Hopefully those kids cure cancer. I have a very quickly.
I think they know the word that hobo taught them.
Sklither, blither, splatter, splites.
The prom was one of my success stories because I asked this girl, like a pastor in the hall, same thing, and I was like, hey, and like I was a fucking coward, like just a straight up coward.
Was.
Never had a date in high school. High five. But I passed her in the hall, I was like, okay, this is the moment, and I was like, hey, do you want to go to the prom with me? And she was like, I thought you weren't going with anybody, and I was like, well, hey, it's the prom, gotta go. And she, like, gave me the sweetest, like, smile, and she was, like, so happy that I asked her, and we went to the prom together, and it was, like, it was a win for me, right? Finally, like, it was the first win I'd ever had, like, in terms of dating and whatnot. But after the prom, like, I still, in my mind, was like, she'll never go out with me in real life, so I never asked her out again after prom, but I could have had, like, my very first, you know...
What?
Relationship.
Oh,
and like,
yeah. I was thinking of something else.
I wasn't. No, I'm. Well, Jesus Christ, yeah. I'm not going to get into the whole sex angle of prom, but yeah, so it was like a win and a fuck up all at once because I still had such low self esteem. That even though she was so happy to go to prom with me, I still didn't think she would ever go out with me in real life.
Yeah.
Well, you mean prom was the only reason she went because everybody had to go to prom?
My crazy brain.
I've got a more embarrassing one than that.
Save it for the next favorite fuck-ups.
All right.
Yeah, my prom is the worst night of my life, so that could be my next one.
Yeah, prom stories. I had another really, like, almost abstract, surreal dream. It's one of the most terrifying dreams I've ever had. Where we had a furnished basement and there was a back basement. So the back basement was unfurnished, just cement lined with like a meat freezer and, you know, a heater and, you know, gurgling vents and like big dusty, you know, exhaust pipes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the furnished basement, you know, had carpet and like a pool table at one point and, you know, old couches and stuff like that, Christmas ornaments, whatever. And I had a dream that my father and I were standing at the entrance to the back basement, and we were both like paralyzed and cowering in fear, and there was some invisible force, completely formless, shapeless, invisible, undetectable force hovering at the entry to the back basement, and it was just menacing us. It was just imposing its will on us, paralyzing us in place. And I remember just being utterly helpless and completely petrified. And I, to this day, I have no idea what it was or what it meant. And
did you ever watch that documentary about that? About, like, sleep paralysis?
No.
Oh, my God. It's terrifying.
Yeah.
It, like, I watched it last year, and I was, like, sweating watching it. Like,
have you ever guys had sleep paralysis?
No, I never have, no. But it made it so vivid to me. I was like,
I don't think so.
Have you ever had a waking dream where you wake up, but your dreams are still kind of...
Oh, sure.
This is something that happens to people with sleep disorders, but it's actually really common in teenagers while your brain is kind of going through those weird shifts where your circadian rhythms are, you know, changing. But I remember one time in middle school where I woke up because the alarm clock went off, and I looked over at the alarm clock, and there was a tiny blue man. A tiny, bald, blue man, like a Blue Man Group, almost, kind of figure, who was sitting on my alarm clock. And I was like, turn it off. And he went, no! And I was like, turn it off. And he was like, no!
Oh, he was like, really there.
You asshole! And I was so mad at this guy, because he wouldn't turn off the alarm clock. And then I just, like, he just kind of, whoop, just vanished. But he was so real. And that is a hypnagogic illusion.
I have had the dreams where I've woken up, gotten out of bed, taken my shower, gotten ready, gone to work, and then realized it was all a dream. And I've also had the opposite, where I've woken up, freaked out because I was late, gotten in the shower, like started getting ready for school or work, and realized it was still like 4 a.m.
And then the Nazi werewolves burst in with machine guns.
And then that happens. Yeah, every time without fail.
I used to get night terrors. I run around in a dream, in a fugue state or something. Like, or I did, and I don't do it so much anymore. But I think if I get overheated, I think I realize that if I get overheated, it happens. But I used to run around the house. When I was a kid, I'd run to the front door and be yanking at the front door. My mom would find me and stuff, and she'd have to lay me down and everything. And my wife told me once that I got up in the middle of the night, jumped on the bed, and stood up over her. Not over her, but stood on the corner of the bed. And I was about to... what did I do? I jumped off the bed, and she said I ran into the corner.
Got one of your katanas.
No, but I was about to pee in the corner. She said I took my dick out, and I was going to piss in the corner. And she's yelling my name. She's like, Ed, you're not in the bathroom. You're not in the bathroom. And I was like, huh? Oh. And it just stormed out. And then I guess she said I went to the bathroom and came back and laid down, and I have no memory of it happening.
Very creepy.
Zero memory.
Mm-hmm. You're haunted.
Yeah. What? Possessed.
Any waking dream kind of things?
Well, I mean, it seemed real to me, but when I was small, I think I was in kindergarten and living in an apartment building with my mom. I woke up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, and when I opened the door, there were these two red glowing eyes staring right back at me. Yeah. And so I ran as fast as I could to my mother's room and woke her up, and she was... I basically had just woken up, so she's kind of like, what the hell is going on? And she sees that I'm breathing heavy and I'm really freaked out, and she goes and checks, and she's like, there's nothing there. And I was not going back to my room, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't going back to that bathroom either. But it felt very real, and the images of the eyes are still there in my head.
It was real.
Pull up your sleeve.
Yeah.
So the other day, I was driving, and I decided to not listen to a podcast, just to put some music on in the background. So I turned on the radio, and I was scanning through, and I ended up on a local LA Spanish language station, and I heard this. So I nearly drove off the goddamn road, because that, my friends, is Beware of the Blob by the Five Blobs. So this is a song that holds a very special place in my heart. One year, long, long, long ago, when I was a kid, back before I could ensure that every Halloween was a month-long celebration of living Halloween to the fullest, sometimes, you know, I wouldn't have anything to do, anywhere to go. There'd be no parties, no candy, whatever. And I think we were visiting relatives, and we were driving back from their place and in my brother's truck. And I was kind of bummed out because it was Halloween, and like we hadn't really done anything, and there were no real costumes or whatever. I remember turning to my brother and saying, that wasn't a party, that was a gathering with pie. But the radio came on, and they played this song, Beware of the Blob.
Yeah, from The Blob.
From The Blob. Yeah. And I was like, I did
Don't
not...
Don't ask me how I know that.
And I was like, I didn't know there's a song about The Blob, and it just so happens to be like the catchiest, most awesome blob-tastical song of all time. So I'm going to play you a little snippet of what I recognized on that Spanish language station.
Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob.
Like I said, solid fucking gold. So I nearly drove off the road. This was like an emergency for me. I had to figure out what was going on. And so I looked up the, I made a note of the time in the station, and I went to their website and looked up their playlist. And it was a song called La Burbuja by the group Liberacion. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, La Burbuja, what's that? I googled La Burbuja, and I couldn't figure out what it was or
it's
what
one
the,
of those words like tapatio.
Yeah, what the lyrics were, and so I picked up Ryan and I told him about this, and he was googling La Burbuja and coming up with all these economics papers that were like translated from Spanish, so it was like, in the mid-2000s, the La Burbuja collapsed and caused havoc around the world as housing markets crashed and stock markets were in upheaval, and La Burbuja was to blame. And I was like, what is La Burbuja? Uh-huh. We have to get to the bottom of this. So I took it to a native Spanish speaker.
Today, we're all going to dance with the Burbuja. We're going to enjoy ourselves this way, that way, dancing with flavor to the beat that touches liberation. Hey, Burbuja.
So Burbuja was this like untranslatable thing.
Yeah.
The nearest we could get was froth or bubble. And that's why all those articles about the economic,
like a housing bubble.
The housing bubble.
Yeah.
Which I initially thought were the lyrics for the song.
Uh-huh.
Talking about the man and collapse of governments.
Yeah. And Alan Greenspan. Yeah.
It was very strange.
And so I was like, okay, maybe we can figure out what came first. Because as you noted, Ed, it really does sound like a kind of ranchera song.
Yeah.
It's got that swing. It's got that big brass band section. And Liberacion plays like norteño and, you know, regional banda music. Whereas the original song, Beware of the Blob, was the theme song to the movie The Blob that was written by Burt Bacharach for his band, The Five Blobs.
Uh-huh.
So, the original Blob movie came out in 1958. Mm-hmm. And Beware of the Blob by the Five Blobs was the theme song. Then I discovered that a Mexican comedian named Manuel El Loco Valdez released an album with La Burbuja, and it's different from the one I heard on the radio. A todos nos gusta el blob, que es explosión atómica de amor, de un corazón que lleva en su interior tanta pasión que entonces hace blob.
I didn't hear a burbuja anywhere.
I think he did say, su nombre es blob. So he's talking about the blob. So I got a translation of this, but you can hear it's, they're all different words.
Hi, this is my graduate student in linguistics and speech science. Do you want me to translate like the speaking parts as well?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't let him dance because he doesn't have feet. We all like the blob. The blob is a atomic explosion of love. It's a passion that then goes blob. If a man goes blob to a woman, that man is going to make himself be loved. The blob is consternation, a tornado. It's love, it's terror. It feels like an earthquake when it is a blob of love. A love that went away and left you sad. It left you sad and in pain, and all you can do to console yourself is cry and do the blob. Someone that you don't love, you can make them go away to Japan or the Roman Pantheon by only saying blob. And then like, shh, and that's it.
Now, are they calling it La Burbuja?
No, they're calling it El Blob.
El Blob.
Yeah.
Then why is it called La Burbuja?
I don't know. They never say the word burbuja. It seems like the Mexican dialect of Spanish lacks a single, commonly used term for the English lexical item, blob. You know, English is a language that accepts a lot of new word formation. A lot of other languages are resistant to new word formation, but not English.
Would you say that English is like a blob?
Yes, for sure.
Would you say it is a voracious blob?
Yes! We say blob. People here say like mic drop, you know that thing? We say blob for that. We're like blob.
So it turns out that La Burbuja by Liberacion came out in 1988, the same year of the Blob movie remake.
Uh-huh.
And on the credits for La Burbuja, they credit Burt Bacharach and Mac David, who composed the Five Blob song. But Burbuja means bubble or froth, but I wanted to know how it was translated into blob.
Uh-huh.
Blob translates into gota, but when you put in translate gota, it means drop.
Uh-huh.
So I looked up the Spanish title for the blob, the movie, and it was called La Mancha Voraz, the voracious stain. So there was no way forward. I was going crazy trying to figure it out, but then I discovered that when the Five Blobs released their 7-inch vinyl record in Mexico, it was retitled La Burbuja.
Blop, mic drop. It creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and
all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob. All right, we're closing the Six Demon Bag for another week. I want to thank Colleen Green for her song.
Why do you call me?
Why do you call me?
Off the album.
Off the album.
Green One.
Green One.
As always, you can find us using Six Demon Bag Podcast at Gmail, at Facebook, and at Instagram, or on Twitter at Six Demon Podcast.
This is Ed signing off. You can find me on Facebook more than I'd like, probably.
at just look up Ed Erdelak, E-R-D-E-L-A-C. I also have my Delirium Tremens blog if you want to read about my writing, excerpts, news, stuff like that. It's emerdelac.wordpress.com.
This is Andrew. You can find me on Instagram at andrewweary, all one word.
This is Jeff. You can find me on Facebook at Jeff C. Carter, or you can find links to my blog and writing samples there. And what are your picks for this week, Ryan?
I spent the last 3 days with my free Amazon Prime trial just watching Mozart in the Jungle, which is like, pretty good. I've watched every episode of every season so far. So
what is it? What's Mozart?
It's about the New York Symphony Orchestra, and like what goes on behind the scenes. I don't know. It's just very like.
Is it a dramatization?
It's
a doc.
No, it's not. It's absolutely 100% scripted. But I don't know. It's funny and cool.
My pick for this week is the H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast. I actually was honored to do a reading this last week on episode 353, The Monster Maker. And it's one of several I've done. It's always fun to go over there and record with those guys. Not only have they covered everything that H.P. Lovecraft has done, but also his contemporaries, so you can find lots of interesting weird fiction and horror stories. In fact, our very own Velvet Pipes, Drew Weary, did an excellent job reading on episode 342 for Bloodchild. So check it out on HP Podcraft or HP Lovecraft Literary Podcast on Facebook.
I want to talk about Lucha Underground that I started watching on Netflix. They recently put up the first 2 seasons. It's been on for 3 seasons right now. I think the 3rd season's running right now on El Rey Network. But on Netflix, you can instantly view the first 2 seasons. And I haven't watched wrestling since I was in my 20s, but I'm 42 now. 41? 42? I'm in my 40s now. And I haven't been this excited about wrestling since I was about 20 or something. It's basically like Mexican wrestling, high-flying, turnbuckle-flying, you know, luchadors, the masked guys and everything. But it's less of a traditional wrestling show with, like, Saturday Night's Main Event or something, and more of a weird supernatural drama with... it's not... With wrestling, you know, in it. There's these guys are competing for, like, 7 mystic... Aztec coins, and they call the place they wrestle a temple, and there's all these crazy like backstories for all these characters. Mil Muertes, the man of 1,000 deaths, and El Phoenix, the man of 1,000 lives. They had this awesome like 10-minute coffin match where Mil Muertes was apparently killed and buried and carried out in like a Day of the Dead procession, and then lovely Katrina, the bewitching whatever, like brought him back to life, and now he has white eyes and he's indestructible, and it's freaking great. It's a lot of fun, and I totally recommend it. My kids and I love it.
My pick this week is for The SciShow, which is a channel on YouTube. They talk about multiple things. They have a general science channel. They also have a psychology channel. But my favorite is their astrophysics channel, where they talk about strange going-ons in the universe, like stars that shouldn't exist, or the 3 strangest moons in the universe, and white holes, if they're impossible or if they're a real thing.
I can verify that white holes are real things.
Like, you guys don't have white heat?
I'm not talking about the movie, White Hole 6, but basically...
Jeez.
But it's a really fun show. I there are 3 to 4 minute segments, and it's something that's easy for me to fall asleep to at night.
A ringing endorsement if ever I've heard one.
Hopefully you can fall asleep to our podcast as well.